Welcome everybody to the Creativity Cafe, where we get to explore creativity in all its aspects, from designing your lifestyle to creating more beautiful and sustainable solutions to global challenges. And I'm Katie Curtin, and I'm a creative lifestyle and money coach, and I'm hosting this cafe because creativity and helping creative people thrive is what I'm all about. And you can visit me at www.katiecurtin.com, and it's KATIECURTIN. No A there, like the curtains on the wall, just C-U-R-T-I-N. Okay, so the guest is finding your money most surviving instead of thriving. And during this interview, we'll be talking about the missing piece of why you are struggling with money, or why you may be struggling with money, and how to bring joy into all the areas of your business you normally struggle with. So just a bit about Jamie. I'm so delighted to have Jamie on this call, and you'll see why soon. Jamie Allman, she walked away from her successful social media and marketing business after burning out spectacularly. And she took a year off to study why she and other talented, hardworking, and passionate entrepreneurs burn out while others thrive. And what Jamie discovered flips around much of the traditional advice on how to build a business, and by addressing the root causes to why entrepreneurs struggle with money, Jamie's practical season and system helps them to switch out of survival mode into joyful prosperity. And how this So she's going to be talking about this, and just for a moment, I'd just like to welcome Jamie before I explain how the call's going to go. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, thank you.
Great. So, how the call works is that I'll talk with Jamie for about 45 to 50 minutes, then we'll open up the call for questions and discussion. If you have your computer in front of you, I'd invite you to visit our Facebook page, which is, you just put in the search item is Creativity Cafe, and then you'll find it. And then you click on the like button and introduce yourself, and you can post questions and comments there as they come up. However, if you'd just rather focus on the call and listen on your phones, that's fine. Whatever works well for you. So make yourself comfortable. Take a sip of your favorite brew while I welcome Jamie. So, Jamie, it's so fun to have you on the call. And I would like you, first of all, to talk with the and to tell us a little bit about what led you to this work.
Yeah, okay. So, as you mentioned, you know, I'd been building my business for about 2 years. And really, when I started my business, I had these ideas about what I wanted it to look like. I really wanted to, the reason I became an entrepreneur was because I really wanted freedom and lifestyle and ultimately security to look after myself for the rest of my life. And so that was really what was driving my business. And after about 2 years of working hard, I just felt like I didn't have that security that I really wanted. Like, I had big goals for my business, and I wasn't there. And so, you know, I started to create a plan. Okay, you know, I need to make this go bigger. You know, as you mentioned, you know, I was running social media workshops and I was filling them, but I just didn't have enough in my mind. Like, it wasn't enough. It wasn't creating the security that I desired. So I created a plan, and I hired a very expensive coach and got into a program and started working on that. And what would happen was I found myself to be really stuck. My week would kind of look like I knew what I had to do. I would get to my computer and sit down and go, right, today's the day I'm going to be getting the work done that I need to do to build a business. And I kind of found myself in this almost like this the Bermuda Triangle of Facebook, Twitter, email. I wouldn't even know how I got there. I was fully intending to work, and somehow I just couldn't get it done. I couldn't get the work done, and this kind of was going on it went on for months. And I started to feel like there was something wrong with me. I would look around and see other business owners, see how they were having success, and I would look at myself and see how I just couldn't seem to get myself to work. I felt like I knew what I needed to do. I felt like I had the support. And the more that I fought with myself, the less work, obviously, I was doing, so the less income I had. I had stopped running workshops. My income was dwindling. And the worse I felt about myself. So I just really got lost in this struggle. And it felt like what it felt like to work in corporate for me. Like, I just felt like I'd created the job that I hated when I worked for someone else.
Yes. And that's actually interesting. I'd like to stop just for a moment there, Jamie, because I think a lot of us often find that is that we're actually almost worse than a boss, because we make ourselves work inordinate numbers of hours on the business that you'd never do at a corporation. Well, maybe some of them do now, but I would never do at a corporation. And, and so there's this whole thing that you start out wanting in a business to have real freedom, and yet you end up completely the opposite almost.
Yeah, like I felt like my office was like jail. Like I felt like I never left my apartment. My social life had dwindled because I just was like, I have to get this sorted out. Like, I haven't been producing anything. I need to get it sorted out. So, and with it, my energy had completely deflated. So I didn't feel like I had anything to give anyway, my friends, my family, whatever. It just didn't feel like there was anything there.
Jamie, it came as a complete surprise to me that you actually were planning a sabbatical, because I'd heard a lot about you, just for people on the call to know how successful you'd been, is that a lot of people really thought you were an amazing social media and marketing coach. You helped a lot of people in circles I know, and you actually had very, very innovative ideas about how to do social media marketing. So, was this a surprise to you as well that it didn't work out?
Well, it's interesting to hear that perspective because I just felt like I decided to take a sabbatical, I just felt like a complete failure. Like, I just really felt like I'd failed, and I really felt like the problem in the equation was me. Like, because other people could be successful, and I knew all the marketing principles. I know all the business strategy principles. So it wasn't like I was necessarily lacking a tool. And so when I came to that realization, it's like, well, if it's not the fact that I know all of this stuff, then it must be me. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I'd come to that realization, I just completely lost myself. Like, I was just at the point where I was so low that the only option really was to take time out. And I was lucky that I was in a situation that I could, not everybody can take sabbaticals. I was very lucky. And so I went into my sabbatical knowing that I could not go back to my business the way that it was. And by that point, I didn't know if it was social media or not, because I knew that my emotional state was so skewed that maybe I did still like social media. Maybe that was still okay, but I just couldn't see it. So I went into my sabbatical with an intention, and that intention was to figure out, is it what I'm doing or how I'm doing it? As I spent the time, I actually live with someone who innately, my husband, he innately thrives. Like, it's not that he doesn't work hard. He works extremely hard. He's got a PhD. He spends a lot of time working, but everything comes easily to him, and he's always happy, and And so I could really see this contrast between me, where I was always riding the waves of huge emotional highs and lows, and things felt like really hard. Like I always felt like I was pushing the boulder up the hill.
Mm.
So I knew that there was another way. After living with him for 6 years, I knew that there was another way to operate, because he was operating in that way and his life was great. And in contrast, I felt like I was, you know, at this very low place in my life. So I started looking at what I was doing and trying to find the pattern. I'm like, there must be a pattern, because all behavior is a pattern, really. And I was looking for how my actions were affecting my outcomes, like what was happening. And I really started to notice a distinct pattern. And I call this the survival cycle. And the reason I call it the survival cycle is because it really comes from a need to survive. It comes and it's very useful within that context, which I'll go into a little bit later. But just so we can call it the survival cycle as I'm talking about it, I wanted to introduce it as that. So the first stage of the survival cycle, it's like you're at a drag race and you're sitting in the car with it, and your foot's on the accelerator, and, but you're not going anywhere because your other foot's on the brake. Like you're revving the engine. And that's what we do in the first stage. We rev our engines with hope. And hope is a great motivator for action, which is why we do it. But this is the stage where we think, okay, I have a goal. So, you know, I'm earning $5,000 a month, but I really want to be earning $50,000 a month. So there's a huge gap between $5,000 and $50,000. So what do I need to do in order to jump that gap? Right? And so you create a plan. And the great thing about a plan is it makes us feel hopeful. It makes us feel like it's a doable thing. It basically gives us the hope that we need to take action. So that leads us to our second step, which is we take action. We explode into action. And we usually explode into action because at the back of our mind, we know that we've run this cycle so many times that we need to get as much done as we can before the energy runs out for it. And it's not necessarily a conscious thought, but often when we do take action, it feels a bit frantic. So we have our plan, we know what action we want to take, and we start taking it. But quickly, a couple of things start to happen. One is we might be sitting at, you know, we might be actually ready to take action, and then we kind of get unclear on the details. We start feeling like, oh, I'm not really sure how to do it, or, you know, it might fail, like so self-doubt and those types of things can start coming in. Or the next thing that can start to happen is it can start to feel really, really hard. So, if the solution is, oh, okay, one of the things I need to do is make some cold calls. Well, you sit down to make the cold calls, but it just feels really hard, and even just picking up the phone, that is not a possibility. So at that point, we crash into resistance. And resistance is interesting. It's a very, very active stage. It's just like if we took our car that we were revving at the speedway and we accelerated and exploded into action and then we hit a wall, the action of hitting a wall is explosive. And so is the fight that we have within ourselves. That fight becomes a huge struggle. And just like when you're having a fight with another person, it's hugely emotionally draining. So when you're in this stage of resistance, all of your energy is going out. And there's usually a lot of self-criticism and stuff happening within that too, because it's all part of the fight. So what happens when we run out of energy? We need time to repair. We need time to rejuvenate that energy. And so then we go into this stage, like the pit stop, So we're rejuvenating our energy. And that stage, you know, is when often when you've just put up the wall between what you should be doing and what you are doing. So you're not returning that email that you know you should return. And maybe it's even a simple email to return, but you're just not doing it. You've, like, switched off to it. You're still aware that it's there, but you've created enough separation between it that you don't have to, that you can actually regenerate your energy. So those are really, and once you've done that, you've taken some time. And for me, for example, when I was telling you about my story, my the way that I needed to take time out was a sabbatical, but it doesn't even have to be that big. It can be, you know, playing video games or doing something else other than fighting with yourself or taking action. So once you've done that for long enough, you've started to rebuild that energy within yourself, and you're ready to go back to stage one. You're ready to go, okay, right, this time I'm going to get it sorted out, and then you're back in the cycle.
And so what was the light bulb moment when you kind of saw this all, that you were actually engaged in a survival cycle?
Well, I'm not sure about a light bulb moment. I mean, it really was a journey of figuring it out step by step and understanding it. And for me, the first part of it was seeing it. The first step is really understanding that you're not survival. It is a cycle, and it is a mode of operation, just like a computer system. You know, my computer runs Mac, but someone else's computer runs Windows. And so once I could start to see it, then I could really start exploring it.
Mm.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Yes. So so you started to see it, and then you explored it. And then how in the earth did you figure out how to get out of it?
A lot of trial and error, but also just beginning to try things a new way and figuring out what worked for me. And as I said, like it took a good year of playing around for myself to figure it out and to find what worked. But what I did notice was that it worked, and people around me saw the difference in me. And what really came through for me as something that showed me the transition that I had made was I was naturally working in a way that worked for me and felt good, and I found, you know, within this, I found my work. Like, this survival to thrival is my work, and it's like a knowingness that I now know, versus with social media and online marketing, I was constantly asking myself, well, what do I want to do? Is this what I want to do? Is this right? So that really helped, you know, in the finding of it, I found myself and my work in it. So that was part of my journey, I guess.
So do you find now more as you get up each day that you know what you want to do as opposed to wondering, searching?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know it. Like, once I knew. But as far as getting up each day, there's a difference in my approach, because survival approach, as we talked about, is starting off with, all right, there's a gap between where I want to be and where I am and where I want to be, and I don't want that gap there. So how can I solve that problem?
Mm.
And then that leads us to planning and that type of stuff. So the getting out of survival means that I don't necessarily wake up in the morning and say, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do today, although some days I do. It's a different type of approach.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could tell us more about your new approach and what changed for you when you got out of survival mode and into thrival.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back to the first step is really understanding and knowing about survival. So because we want to skip to the end and just be able to change the things that we're doing. But part of being able to change what you're doing is knowing exactly what you're doing and what impact that has.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, survival, the reason I was mentioning before I explained why I call it survival, the reason that I call it survival is because the system works perfectly in a crisis, and that's where it's come from. So you might know that situation where you leave something until the last minute and then you seem to do your best work. And I've even heard people say, oh, I leave things to the last minute because that's when I actually get my best work. And that statement really comes from the understanding that's the only way that they know how to work, because that's the survival is their only way of operating. And it was totally my only way of operating too. And that doesn't mean that you can't leave things to the last minute all the time. It just means that just knowing if that's the only way that you can get work done, then that's the only way you know how to work. So, you know, when we use this crisis example, now that I'm in Colorado, living in Boulder beside a mountain, there is a chance that I could walk out of my house one evening and come face-to-face with a mountain lion. And in that situation, having, you know, exploding into action and going into fight mode, which is stage three, and then after I've had the fight with the lion, I'm going to need time to rejuvenate. These stages work perfectly in a situation where there is a crisis. However, the thing about survival is its purpose is just to survive. It's not to help you thrive. So if this is the only way that you're working, then you're not creating momentum, because if we think the four, like as I mentioned, there's four steps, the four stages of survival. If each one of those stages took one day, it would mean that you're only taking action one day out of four. That doesn't create momentum. And the funny thing about the action is it could change every week, because every 4 days, because when you're in that hope generation stage, you might create a new plan. So people who run the survival cycle a lot, they tend to have a lot of ideas but not a lot of finished projects.
So actually, that's something to maybe pause a moment for, because I certainly know that situation myself, and it's very easy to get tempted to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of creative people do have an endless amount of and what I find is that try out one idea, and because it doesn't work right away, then you know, move on to the other. And you've sort of pointed out, well, that's survival, because you don't really even give time for anything, do you?
No, because you're trying to solve your problem as quickly and as reliably as possible, because what you're doing is you're focused on the gap between where you are and where you want to be. And because you're only productive one day out of four, for example, then, and even then it's not consistent productivity, it can mean that the money that you do earn only comes in spurts, because there's no consistent output. And so that can lead to debt. It can lead to just scraping by the skin in your teeth, which is extremely stressful in itself.
Yeah. And so tell us more about how you see getting out of this.
Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, this is a problem-solving system. It works in a crisis. It solves problems. So the challenges with this is you're looking at how can I get from A to B the quickest, most reliable way to solve this problem. And there's a big piece that's missing in that equation when you ask yourself that. You're not asking yourself, how can I thrive? You're not asking yourself, what gives me joy? You're asking yourself, how can I solve this problem? And when that happens, there's the piece that's missing is you. There's no authenticity. There's no joy. There's no there's no you in it. It's just you looking, well, yeah, obviously you're in it, but you know what I mean. There's just looking for the solution to the problem and looking all around you and going, how did someone else solve this problem? I'm going to apply their system. As you said, that doesn't work quickly, so I'm going to stop that, stop doing that, and I'm going to look around and look for something else. It's like the dieter who's constantly trying all the different diets.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good analogy there.
Yeah. So survival, operating in survival, can't and won't change your circumstances. Because it's outcome-oriented based on fixing a problem. So it's going to keep you there. And that's why, you know, when I started looking at the patterns that I was running in my life, I saw that that feeling of being the same as I was at work, as I was in my business, it was the same because I was showing up with survival. So, as I mentioned, the first step of getting into thrival is understanding that you're not survival. So beginning to be able to see when you're running that pattern, when you're just focused on the outcome, when you're just focused on solving a problem. And essentially, where survival focuses on how do I solve the problem, how do I get my outcome, thrival focuses on the journey. Because as I mentioned before, when you're not involved in it, when it's just about getting from A to B as quickly and as reliably as possible to solve the problem, then the journey is not taken into consideration because you're just trying to solve the problem quickly, and then after that, things will be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So the switch that happens is once you're starting to see survival, then you're starting to focus on enjoying the journey. Easy to say, as you probably, you know from,
yeah.
from your experience, the big challenge in that is how do you switch from survival to thrival when actually you just have to make some money sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And also because it's such a default thing that we're so used to and so ingrained in us. I mean, I know with you, it's just like, and working with you is that you would point out, oh, you're in survival, and I'd be, oh, am I? It's like, I thought I was, you know, in that particular case, going towards thrival. But it's especially, I think, actually, Jamie, I don't know if we've talked about it, but especially in the hope stage, it feels like thrival almost.
Right.
I'll be provocative there.
Yeah, it does, because you feel like you've got a plan. And there's something, there's security in that. There's, as you say, there's hope and you feel aligned between where you are and where you want to go. And it's that feeling of alignment that has been missing in the other three stages. And you're like, it's almost a relief to be there.
Hmm.
And that can be a trap in itself because you feel relieved that you're finally feeling good about where your direction. And as you mentioned, survival, if we're using it as our operating system, it can be quite insidious. It comes in at any stage. It's like playing a game of snakes and ladders. At any stage, I can land on a square that could either be a snake into survival or a ladder into thrival, which is also exciting on the flip side because at any moment you can begin to bring thrival in. So while thrival is a journey, it's also accessible to you at any time.
And Jamie, at points, I mean, I know in working with you, at points it's been very frightening for me to let go of survival and that kind of mentality because it feels like survival is at stake. And yet when I have let go and when I said, okay, I'll let go, I'll do it from thrival, from joy and all that, it's been really liberating. But almost that point of decision, I mean, it's almost like I've been fighting. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do that because it's too scary. And yet,
it is very scary, and I think that that's because for people like myself, who only have had survival as the way of operating, I haven't allowed my authentic self to come through because I've constantly been focused on, I just want to get this outcome, and then it'll be good, whatever the outcome is. I could give you an example again about losing weight. If I just diet, then I'll lose the weight, and then I'll be able to feel comfortable in my own body, for example. So it's the same thing. When you switch into thrival, you're all of a sudden you're faced with actually sharing your authenticity, sharing who you really are, without, you know, and that can feel really exposing because you are essentially putting yourself out there. And, you know, if you judged, that's you, the real you being judged, the real you people saying yes or no to or criticizing. And I think that that's the scary part of it, or at least it is for me.
The funny thing, I mean, I'll say for me, is that a lot of the time I think I have been authentic or as authentic as I can be at that moment. And yet... And I feel that a lot of people who are in survival mode think they're being tremendously authentic and true to their goals and their overall aims in life. And yet, on a daily level, they can't really live that authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not in any way to say that you aren't being authentic in that mm-hmm. moment. But there's a depth that you find in thrival that is scary. Which is what we were talking about. And,
right,
you know,
and I think it's just another level. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Because thrival really is a deep layered journey, as you've been discovering. Mm-hmm. And it does feel scary, but it's not like you aren't being authentic in survival, because survival is a part of you. And it's not a bad part of you. It's actually a very useful part of you. And its purpose is to help you to survive. Like, it, you know, the intent of its purpose is so noble, yet there's a kind of a peace that we have to make with it, that it's not going to help us to thrive.
Yeah.
And so you asked earlier, like, how do you start to make the journey? And the first step is, instead of focusing on the outcome of what you want, which is, you know, I want $50,000 a month, you start to focus on, how do I want to feel? Because ultimately, we make decisions of what we want based on how we perceive that's going to make us feel when we get it. And the disconnect comes when we live in survival, we're constantly putting how we want to feel in the future rather than having it present. So the shift begins to happen when you start to say, well, how do I want to feel now? There's a big gap between, you know, you having something, you either have it or you don't. If you don't have it, there's a gap. Whereas there's no gap between how do I want to feel? And then the secondary question becomes, what do I need to feel that way?
Yeah, and those questions are so important. And what I found was surprising is that before I was always saying, well, when I get this, I'll feel this way. And when I get that, and of course I'd get that, and I still wouldn't quite feel that way. Whereas now I've discovered when I do ask the question, is that I can very quickly get into it. And all of us
right.
can really get quickly into it. But we've got this kind of mindset that it has to be after doing something.
Right, because we think that if I do this thing, then I'll get that outcome, and then I'll feel the way that I want to feel. But that's actually not how it works. It doesn't matter whether you're in survival or thrival. How it works is how I feel will dictate what actions I'm able to take, and those actions have outcomes. So it's a slight difference. It's just in one, we're not acknowledging that the starting place is feelings.
Right.
And so if I'm in survival and I'm feeling stuck, like I'm in the stage three, which is resistance, where I'm fighting myself, the emotional state that I am feeling is I'm feeling a little bit of hopelessness, like, I can't believe I'm fighting with myself about this. I'm actually criticizing myself. So I'm feeling small, and I'm feeling sad, a little bit sad, you know, all of those feelings that come with the fight when you're fighting with yourself. And so that dictates the actions that I'm actually able to take. I'm starting to feel exhausted. So when I feel all those things, it just makes me want to go have a nap instead of sitting in front of my computer. Or it makes me want to avoid it completely. So avoiding it completely is an action. We're doing something. We're avoiding. So that's how I feel and what the actions I take will have. And the outcome from those actions is that I'm not working towards being, you know, having any type of financial outcome, because I'm not doing anything. I'm just fighting with myself and feeling crappy. So, but when I'm in survival, when I'm asking myself, so I want to feel joyous and I want to feel excited and I want to feel courageous and I want to feel fun, what do I need to feel that way? The actions that come out of that are vastly different than the actions that would come out of me going, okay, I want this thing, I want $50,000 a month, what do I need to take there to get there?
So maybe, Jamie, right now you could give an example of how you did that, like asking this question or these questions, and what impact it had in terms of the way you've been shaping your business.
I can give you an example that happened this week.
Great.
So in the past, if I was doing something like having a free call or doing something like that, I would sit down and I would carefully think about all of the ways that I had learned how to market a teleclass. And so how I was taught was, number one is you think about the pitch first. So the outcome. So you want, because at the very end of the call, you want to be able to pitch something, and you want people to sign up for that, as many people as possible. So you plan the pitch first, and then you work the talk back from that. And so once you know what that is, then you can write the email to go out to your list that is going to optimize the amount of people who are going to sign up at the end of the free teleclass. And none of that's very fun, because you're ultimately, you know, again, there's none of me in that. It's all about getting that outcome. So instead, this week, I started. I have a couple of different tools, but I have a daily tools that I use for questions that I ask myself to get myself into a state of thrival. And so I started through those questions, and then I sat down and I just wrote an email to my list, who I haven't emailed in a while because I had been on my sabbatical and that type of thing, just explaining why I'd been on sabbatical, what I'd learned, and inviting them to come to the call. And I really did it from a place of how I wanted to feel. And I sent off the email, and I ran to yoga. And I expected nothing. Like, I just thought, you know, I didn't even really think about it. But in my mind, I thought, okay, I'm going to come home and there's going to be, you know, 800 people unsubscribing to my list because they either don't remember who I am, don't care what I'm doing now, or think I'm a spammer. And I came home and I had about 30 messages in my inbox of people either saying, that's exactly how I felt, that's how I need, this is exactly what I needed to hear, or people that I had met or had been to my workshop saying, wow, we've really missed you, great to hear from you. You know, and it was weird because I had never received any feedback from my list when I sent out an email before.
Oh, that's so extraordinary.
Yeah, it was unbelievable to me. But if I had gone into that email thinking, I want to get people to respond to me, I want to get them to sign up to it, the email itself would have been vastly different. And so it's a very, very slight change that makes the world a difference.
So how has it affected your business and your relationship with money?
Making money is easy for me now. Like, there's no fight in it because I'm not in that problem-solving place where I just, like, I need this money now, I'm not in that frantic place. So I'm able to have really authentic conversations with people that that people just really respond to. So, and because they respond to it, hiring me has become easy, and me turning up to those conversations is easy. Without even trying, like, I haven't really even launched this new part of my business, I'm making more money than I had been in the past. But it's just easy. And I don't want to say this from the point of view of like, well, you just, you know, you go to Thrival, you're going to make more money. Because in essentially, I love what I'm doing, and that's the most important thing. Like, I hated what I was doing before. It was a chore, and it was hard, and I was trying to force myself to do all these actions that I thought were going to help me build my business, but ultimately I hated. It's like the example of someone sitting down to do cold calling who hates it. They're never going to do it, but they can try to be forcing themselves to do it for years.
So what led you to start teaching this to others then?
Oh, I couldn't stop myself. I could talk about this stuff all day. I love it. I'm so passionate about it, and I really believe that I've just never seen anyone talking about it in the way that I learned to understand it. And essentially, I live with a scientist, so I was like, this works for me, but that doesn't mean that it works for everybody. So what I did was I started working with people that I knew, friends, for free, because I just wanted to check that it worked. And I started to see that it did with other people. It wasn't just me that it was working for. It wasn't just me that was having this experience, which in itself is extremely liberating, because when you're stuck in survival and you start thinking, oh, my God, the problem is me, to be able to just to be able to know this isn't me is amazing. And so the more that I was sharing it, the more that I knew that it's something that people need. Because when I was running social media workshops, I would have 30 people turn up to a workshop, and then I would watch them, because I followed them on Twitter and Facebook and that kind of stuff, and I would watch how many people actually applied the tools that I had taught them. And out of 30 people, maybe 3 people would actually go out and use the tools. And that was one of the biggest things that frustrated me. And I was like, why do 27 people not do it? For the same reason, like, why will I go to a workshop and take pages of notes and come out with 2 pages of to-do lists and then never do those actions? So I think, for me, it was just really when I found a practical solution to being so stuck, I couldn't help myself. I just wanted to share it. And that's something that's really interesting about Thrivers, actually, is they do it so innately that when you ask them what they're doing, they'll tell you the strategies that they're using in their marketing, or they'll tell you the steps that they think. And think about it in reverse, because that's the way that they're looking from that perspective. And so they'll backwards engineer the steps, which is exactly what Thrival does, right? It backwards engineers the steps. So even though you could be getting advice from someone who actually naturally thrives, because they naturally do it, they never thought about how they do it, they just focus on the action. And so I really felt like there's a need for people who actually struggle with this to actually get out of it. Hello? Hello?
Oh, sorry. I was trying to mute out the banging. And I don't know if you can hear it anymore. But
oh, no.
Yes, good. What I was going to ask you is that if you could just tell us a little bit more about what does Thrival look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned, it really is a journey. So there's I could give you tools and steps and things to do, but part of it is just stepping onto the journey and starting to follow from how do I want to feel and what do I need to feel that way. And, you know, obviously this is one tool, and within the journey there's many tools and there's many layers that you can be using to get into Thrival, but just taking a step towards how you want to feel and away from outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and it makes it, you know, what it looks like when you're in it is you feel like you're in flow. I got a phone call from one of my clients yesterday who was so excited because he had used one of the tools and he got into that feeling of being in flow. And the message on my answering machine was like, oh, my God, this stuff is so great. And then that was it, which was amazing because you, from when you're in survival, you feel so stuck to feeling like things are easy and you're in flow and you're enjoying what you're doing. And it all starts with how do I want to feel and what do I need to feel that way?
Yes, and I just want to emphasize to people on the call, take down, maybe you could repeat those questions once again, and just take down those questions and start applying it.
Yeah.
Asking them to, you know, asking yourself each day, how do you want to feel?
How do I want to feel, and what do I need to feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And the more this becomes ingrained in your habit, the more easy it is to thrive. And, of course, part of the journey is really learning survival and how it plays out so you can see it, because if you don't see that you're in it, you can't get out of it, which is why it's so important to really get to know what that is. And survival has a very specific way it makes money, and so does Thrival. So, you know, these are all part of the steps. It's like learning to see what survival is, learning how survival makes money, and learning how to switch over to Thrival and make money that way. And as you say, that can be really scary and confrontational. So it is really a journey.
Mm-hmm. Scary, and yet it feels really good when you get it. And there's many, I think there's, because it's a journey, there are many moments of realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you just go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. But the more you practice it, the more you cultivate it. It's like growing a plant. And the first step is you have a garden and it's full of weeds and you start to pull out the weeds. So when you plant the plant, it can grow unobstructed. And that's kind of like what survival and thrival are in contrast.
Wonderful. So I'm going to, thank you, Jamie. I think what I'm going to do now is to open up the questions and open up the line for questions. And thank you so much, Jamie. It's so interesting. And I could go on with my questions for a lot longer, but I really want to hear what people are saying. So what I'm going to do actually is I'm going to refresh my Facebook page to see what people are being saying there. And I'm also going to do one thing, which is I'm going to open up the line too. Sorry, with the technology, I'm having to do a couple of things at the same time, which I'm not that talented at. So what I'm going to do right now is put it on Q&A mode. And people, if you If anybody wants to answer, ask a question, or make some comments, just press star 6, and that will unmute you. So I'll see if there's anything coming up here. And not hearing anybody right now. I may open it up altogether, but I'll just wait a moment. So you can press star 6 if you have a question. Okay. Now, what's going to happen here is somebody had a problem keeping on for some reason. They got dropped. I'm looking at, it's been problems with Skype again. And we have a comment from Dan, is that he's glad to be on the call because you're brilliant, Jamie, which I'll agree with. So anyway, what I'm going to do is see if I can get some questions. I don't see any questions on the Facebook page.
There is one from Jackie.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, so Jackie asks, are there any more questions that you asked to shift from survival mind frame to a thrival one? And the answer is yes. However, because of the nature of the questions, and you can attest to this, Katie, this is not me trying to be elusive, there's a coaching that needs to come around understanding the questions and the intent. Otherwise, the shift from survival to thrival doesn't happen. So I can't really give you the tools right now in such a short time. I've tried to do it before, and it just hasn't worked. So, that's a bit of an elusive answer, but it's not from the sense of me wanting to hold it back from you. It's because I know that there really needs to be discussion around it.
I'm going to try and unmute. Jackie, did you want to add to that at all?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you can elaborate on thrival. I mean, you were talking about moving into how you want to feel and actually enjoying how things are happening as you go. And I'm just wondering, it sounds as though there's a real qualitative difference to how you're approaching what you do. Can you describe that more?
So have you ever felt like you've been in flow?
Yes.
Have you ever tried to force yourself to get into flow?
Yes.
Has it worked?
No.
Right. So that's kind of the difference between survival and thrival. One is you're naturally thriving, you're naturally in flow, things are going well, you don't have to force it. And the other, survival, is you're in the struggle. So the key really isn't, we've all experienced moments where we felt in flow, and it may not be always with our business. It may be with some other area in our life that we don't struggle with.
Right.
So we innately know what it feels like to be in flow and to thrive. We just don't know how to make it happen.
Right.
And so that's the journey. That's the learnings, is learning how to do it. Now, an extra tool that I can give you is the next step. Like, the first step that I go through when I'm with coaching clients is helping them to let go of all the shoulds. Because we have so many shoulds, especially if we've done a lot of coaching, a lot of courses, we've asked a lot of people for advice. Each time we receive a piece of advice, we receive a new strategy, we receive something like that, it goes on our mental to-do list. And our mental to-do list is usually massive. So how we can start to build the bridge into thrival is by letting go of all of those shoulds. Because those shoulds are going to stop you from being able to effectively answer the question, how do I want to feel and what do I need to feel that way?
Wow, thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, that does help.
Perfect.
And actually, just to add to what Jamie said, is that making a list of shoulds is very, very, well, it's very, very revealing. And when you take a little bit of distance from it, you actually can see it as quite funny. Like, I remember doing this and seeing all the expectations I had of myself. And it's great, you know, like, it's crazy making. And also, maybe, Jamie, because you particularly pointed this out for me, but I found it a particularly interesting one, is a huge part of my work as a coach is seeing the potential in people and wanting that potential to be realized. And yet you pointed out at one point that there was a should there. Like, if people weren't living up to their potential and I was coaching them in some ways, then that would get into feeling like a problem or a struggle.
That is a huge one, as you say. Like, for anyone who does any type of coaching or does any type of, even just in our personal relationships, giving advice, or receiving advice, it's important that to know that advice, although well-meaning, whether we're giving it or receiving it, is just shoulds. And so part of, you know, sometimes I catch myself about to say you should, and then I stop myself. And people who know and work with me and do this work, they always laugh because they know exactly what just happened in my mind, which was going, I heard the word should and just went, okay, stop, you know, exterminate, like, don't, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to receive shoulds and I don't want to give shoulds. And as a coach, you know, I mean, it can be difficult because when we do see the potential in people and we do, you know, we take on face value about, they say about what they want and how they want to get there and that type of stuff, we want to help them. And the best way that we can do that is by helping them to be on their path versus what we think that they should be doing, even if that's what they said that they want to do. And it's the same with our loved ones, too, when we can give them the space and allow them their own journey without our shoulds, relationships become much easier.
So true. So I'm looking here, and I'm wondering if anybody else would like to ask a question. It's star 6 again.
Am I muted again?
Not quite, but did you want to say anything else?
No, thank you, and I'll mute myself.
Thank you. I'll mute you too. Oops. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay.
So I know that there's a lot of, it's a big subject. And, you know, we've just really scraped the surface of it. And I love to help people with this, and this is, you know, and so if you go to my website and on the menu bar, I put a menu item up there for today called free session. I would be happy to talk further one-on-one with you with no expectation of you having to hire me at all. So that's there for you. If you have, if you think of questions or you start trying this, this how do I want to feel and what do I need to feel this way, and you get a bit stuck, you can access me.
That's a wonderful offer. And I have, it looks like one more question, although I don't see who it is. So is somebody there wanting to ask a question?
Yeah, it's Dan here. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hi,
Dan. Hi.
Fantastic. So I have a comment based on Jamie's last point and then a question. So the comment, well, first of all, I've been working with Jamie for, gosh, how long has it been? 6-8 months? And
it's nearly a year.
Yeah. And it's absolutely transformed my life. It's been a lot of work on my end, a lot of patience and guidance on Jamie's end. And what I guess the point I wanted to make in terms of that whole should thing. I was in a situation where I have a network here in Toronto. A lot of people know me, love me, want me to succeed, and my frustration with where my business was pretty apparent. And so I had this really supportive community saying things like, oh, well, you should do this, or, if you want to succeed, you need to X. And with a big network, that was a lot of people telling me a lot of things. And being however I am, I get a little bit of a shiny object syndrome. Like, ooh, that's a great idea. If I only did that, then I'd be successful. I'd have what I wanted. I'd feel the way I wanted to feel. And then I'd go do that for a few days. I'd realize it wasn't for me. And, well, no, I wouldn't even realize it wasn't for me. I just wouldn't do it. And then I would just feel guilty. And so for me, a to-do list, if it's not clear, real hard commitments that I've made, just ends in discouragement and guilt. So Jamie was instrumental in helping me let a lot of that stuff go. And then a question. So, and I kind of know this from my experience, but Jamie, do you have a sense of how long it takes people to shift from that operating in survival as a normal daily practice into being able to use Thrival?
I think that it's different for each person, and it actually will depend on where you're starting from. So if you're starting from a place of you're completely, like where I was, completely burned out, you have nothing left to give, you just like, life has just, it's so hard, and, you know, you're just basically, I just need to shut down and shut out for a while, the steps that you go through from that step is that you just need to rebuild from there a little bit before you can use the foundation of applying it to your business because you've got nothing left to give. And then other people who just see that cycle and are ready to start making the transition, they don't need to go through that stage, so it becomes a lot quicker. But it really depends on the individual and depends on the risk that you're willing to take, because as Katie mentioned, it can be scary. So the depth of it, you know, it's different for each person. Does that answer the question well?
Yeah, absolutely. I know in my case it's been a pretty long process, but I definitely started at the bottom.
Yeah, you were at the bottom. So
yeah.
As far as not the bottom as in like the bottom, but just at feeling at rock bottom.
Yeah, I was absolutely frustrated and had kind of, well, I was at wit's end. I didn't know what to do, but I knew what I was doing wasn't working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, in a sense, that is a good place, because when you know what you're doing isn't working, you're much more willing to try something new.
Right.
Yeah. And such a good point about shiny object syndrome, because I think a lot of us entrepreneurs suffer from that. And when you're in a state of survival or coming from that, shiny objects are very, very attractive. Whereas when you get more in the situation of thrival and from being enough, you don't always have to go out and get the latest tool, and you're not so susceptible to what I feel is like very strong advertising, and which almost can, you know, you can be on the internet and think, oh, I got to buy this, I got to buy that, and I'm never going to make it. And of course, all the marketing machines are designed to do that, but that's not good for us. There are certain things that we do need for tools, but coming at it from a point of thrival is so different than coming from the sort of the feeling of lack. And then, you know, as Dan said, you kind of buy the tool and that, or buy the class or do the class, and then you don't apply it, or you just put a little bit of it into effect. So, you know,
yeah.
I really agree with that.
I can say I was probably one of the worst when it came to like buying courses and not feeling like I knew enough. You know, I spent.
I'll compete.
I spent $20,000 to $30,000 on courses. And, you know, and then it, they just, all the information became shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dad said, it was something that I would walk around with this feeling of failure and guilt and inadequacy because I should be doing these things, but I'm not.
And, I mean, Jamie, just to come back to that, I mean, there's some of these things are really good, aren't they? But they're just not useful at a particular time unless you really know what you love and what you enjoy doing.
Right. Marketing's easy, and I mean, marketing, but it's like the steps that used to be really difficult become really easy because you're not approaching them the same way. I had an example where we went to Cuba last year, and I was totally stuck in survival. And for like the first 3 days, we were in this tropical paradise, and I was miserable for the first 3 days because I was really stuck in a cycle. And in the end, I ended up, my husband was out sunning himself by the pool, and I ended up in the room all day just working myself through it because I was just like, this is, I don't want to be on holidays like this. And so it's not just, you know, it basically the point I'm trying to make is if you take survival with you, it doesn't matter where you apply it. It's still going to be there.
Oh, that's so true, Jamie. And you know what? Just to put in a little personal anecdote, like I live a lot of the year in Mexico, and that was always a dream of mine. And because it seemed like a laid-back place where there was community and all kinds of things that I wasn't getting totally from Toronto, I thought I'd get there and I would be fine. It would do the work for me. And what I found, and it would be like being on vacation, and what I found is that I brought all the work habit. Like once I came here and am doing business here at least part of the year, then I'm in the same mode as I'm in Toronto. You know, I was working hard. I'd be listening to all the classes. I wouldn't have the time to really enjoy being here because of that. And so it's, of course, you know, I'm turning that around and all that, but that was something that actually made me start to search and say something has to change within. It's not just the outside environment or the courses that I should take.
Yeah, and that's why essentially Thrival is a journey, because you learn, and that's what I was saying about your authenticity, because the things that you decide to do are not coming from external out places. They're coming from this really internal place of what do I want to feel? How do I want to feel, and what do I need to feel that way? They're coming from
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that in itself is, you know, that's the biggest shift, is it doesn't, all of the stuff that happens outside of us, all the advice, all of that stuff no longer is relevant because there's that internal knowing that this is what I need.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Yeah, actually you are. Please.
Can I throw another
ahead.
Thought in here?
Yes.
Yes.
So what I've experienced, and in talking with Jamie about her experience in it, is that I think what can be so powerful about working in Thrival is that the sort of the process, without going into the process at all, but the process of putting yourself into Thrival creates solutions that are perfect for me. The solutions that I come up with using Thrival may or may not work for somebody else, and I think that's the brilliance of it. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's a process that leads to something that works for each person. Would you agree with that, Jamie?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's what, it's like learning the tools, and like my whole goal is to get you to the point where you can manage it yourself without me, because that's thriving. Thriving is having enough within yourself in any moment. I mean, people talk about abundance, you know, the idea of abundance, and what used to frustrate the hell out of me was, it's all very well to say all these things, but how do you do that? Like, how do you feel abundant when you have no money, when you look at your bank account and you're full of debt? How do you do that? And so, you know, learning tools and learning learning how to make the bridge from survival to thrival is something that you can apply in any situation. And it's the journey that I was talking about. And that's the piece that's important, is like knowing that. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, great.
I see something else on Facebook here, so I'll just read it to you. And then if anybody else is interested in asking more questions, we can take maybe one or two more. And it's Kat Donison says, I find that social media, Facebook, for example, is a tremendously useful tool, but like a chainsaw is useful, it can also be a dangerous time waster. How does social media fit in thrival? What a big question, and an interesting one, especially for you, Jamie.
Yeah, and I think that this comes down to knowing the difference between what we're using as a tool and what we're using to avoid something.
Uh-huh.
So I use, and you know, like, and it's like this need within me to check if something's happened. It becomes like that cycle that I get stuck into, and it's usually I get stuck in the cycle because I'm avoiding something.
Mm.
And so I don't have to worry about managing social media when I'm just making sure that I'm not in the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree, too. I think Facebook is a tremendous tool. But for some people, like I had a conversation with a client yesterday, and she was just like, you know, I feel I need to be on social media, but I also feel like it's not the most effective tool for my business. But everybody's saying I need to be on it. So, again, what Dan was saying, when you start operating from thrival, you're able to throw out the things that you should be doing, which may be social media or may not be, and then just focus on the things that give you joy. And when you're in that state, you're not avoiding things. You're in flow.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I find, for example, not all the time, and I found it to be a bit of a crutch sometimes where I would use it to avoiding things. But I love going on Facebook and checking around things and posting about events. And I really enjoyed posting around this event.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, LinkedIn I find a little bit more challenging. Maybe if I know it more, I will do more, but I actually enjoy Facebook more. It's more into my, it's more my style. And I think people find that, but I guess what's the problem is that people are, you know, into the shoulds. And really the only, for marketing, the best tool of marketing is the one that you love.
Exactly. Because that's the one that you're going to do.
Exactly.
Because you started from loving it. Not from resisting it, not from dreading it.
Exactly. So I'm going to look here. Anybody else who would like to have a question? I don't see any. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't see anybody else, and it seems like the time is coming to a close. So what I'm going to ask you, Jamie, is I just found somebody has got a question. Okay, hello. Can you ask your question, please?
Sure. Hi, it's Catherine. Thanks for such a great discussion. Just can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. And who's speaking?
Okay.
Or did you mind saying your?
Catherine.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Great discussion. Thank you so much, Katie, for providing the space for this discussion to happen. And Jamie, thank you so much for being so honest and describing so well that experience of being in survival mode. As I was listening, I was like, oh, yeah, I know that. I've done that. I've been there. And how important it is to speak about this. I guess from a point of view, I've had this kind of bias of being in survival mode you know, I'm never going to be successful. But it's interesting to hear, well, people who seem to be successful are also working in survival mode, which is a great insight. So thank you. And the other thing I just wanted to add in was just that underlying fear that people have that propels them through life in that survival mode. And it's like overcoming that fear. It's almost like a paradigm shift in how to be in the world. And that seems to be what you're talking about, like how to be authentically and uniquely doing things in your own way without fear. So
yeah. And you know, the thing is, the reason that the fear is there is because it's a motivator. We didn't get to talk about this much, but you know, when we're in resistance, we use fear to try to get, because we've lost hope, we're not in the hope stage, we use fear to try to motivate ourselves. So the fear itself is actually part of the cycle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And identifying that, and, you know, I guess in shifting over to thrive, it's like, well, I'm not motivated by fear, what am I motivated by?
Exactly. So it's kind of like there's a big step of being courageous that is required.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But and as Katie said, like that, when once we step into being courageous, it's so liberating.
Mm.
Then we can just do whatever we want and be whoever we want.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And things open up, don't they?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Great. You just kind of revealed another tool there, shifting from fear into courage.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. There's lots of them.
Yeah. So again, I know you're... thank you so much, both of you, for the
Oh, you're welcome.
Today. Yeah, great.
And thank you, Catherine.
Okay.
And it really is a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I think a tremendously important one for people to make. And I think you also made a really good point that a lot of people who are successful may be in, not all of them are in thrival mode. A lot of them may be in survival mode but appear successful. But they're constantly, they may be in huge debt. They may be motivating themselves through survival methods, and so not feeling good and burning out, and
And it doesn't have to be about money. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like for us, it might be about money, but for someone else, their debt may be that they have no personal relationships.
Mm.
You know, because debt is like money is just one outcome that happens. Because to me, thriving means I'm doing what I love, I'm making money, and the other areas of my life are supported and I'm thriving in those too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we've got all the questions now, and thank you everybody for participating. This has been really lively. Jamie, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Actually, I'm going to put it on to the lecture mode now because there's a bit of echoing happening. And Jamie, maybe you could just say a few words in summary, and then we'll I'll say a few more words, and then we'll end the call.
So the only thing that I would say is just no matter what happens, just remember that you're not survival. That it's the operating system. It's not who you are. And with that, I think that's the most powerful thing that you can learn.
Mm. And Jamie, can you remind people again how they can get hold of you, please?
If you just go to Jamie Almond, so Jaime, almond, like the nut, .com.
Great. So... and it's really worth your while if you do decide to have that call with Jamie or work with her. And certainly I would urge people even to listen to this call again, because there's a lot of gems there. And there's some things that, I don't know, Jamie, they sound so easy and it feels like you get them, but it really does take a journey to know it and to really apply it. So that's something I'm really discovering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a journey.
So what I would like to do is just thank you so much, Jamie, for sharing your very different approach to building a business and generating money. And also to all those people who've participated. And for those of you who would like also help in creating an outside-the-box sustainable lifestyle and business, you can check out my website at www.katiecurtin.com. And yes, so thank you for coming. We will be this Creativity Cafe is once a month, and next month we will be featuring a guest who's an expert in permaculture and who has an approach to business building which is based on the permaculture model. So more innovative ideas that can help you design a business and lifestyle that suits you. So once again, thank you so much for taking this, hour and 15 minutes with us, and I look forward to spending time with you in the future. Bye then.
Bye.